All right, Timosa, good morning. So we left off, yes, on the last line of Samech Dalet Amud Beis. The beautiful, some beautiful Gemara. So remember, the Gemara was focusing heavily on some of the issues regarding wine, in terms of ramifications of wine, or consumption of wine, on Tefillah, on Horah, on Psak Halacha. So the Gemara said, Amar Rav Sheshes Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rav Sheshes said the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, top of Samech Hay. Yochol ani liftar es kol ha'olam kulo min hadin. I can go ahead and literally exempt the entire world. Now, when he means the entire world, he means Klal Yisrael. What he seems to be saying is, I could absolve all of Klal Yisrael from judgment. Rashi says, Yochol liftar lit on al kol Yisrael lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I could go ahead and defend the Jewish people before God. Davar shiyiftiru kula medina. Something that will exempt them from all judgment. So what is it that he could say? Back to the Gemara. Miyom shechara beis hamikdash v'ad akshav. I can go ahead and exempt the Jewish people from any sin they have committed from the time of the destruction of the temple until this point. How could he do that? Shneamar. Because he quotes over here the pasuk from Yeshayahu. Lochein shemina zos aniya u'shechuras v'lo miyayim. So the Navi speaks to the people and says to the people, listen, you people, aniya, you impoverished ones, and those who are intoxicated, but not from wine. So what the Navi was saying over here, he was giving most of the Klal Yisrael, he was saying that you act in such a reckless way, almost like you're poverty-stricken. When a person is poverty-stricken, they're desperate. So they have to take extreme measures, and you act like you're drunk, yet what? You have not consumed one drop of wine. So comes along Rav Sheshes, Rav Elazar ben Azariah and says, that's how I can defend the Jewish people. Because the Navi himself called us a shikr. So a shikr is not responsible for his actions. And therefore, Elazar ben Azariah says, I've just successfully, in your attempt to give mustard to Klal Yisrael, you've just successfully defended Klal Yisrael that we shouldn't have to be responsible for anything negative we do. Meise. So the Gemara says, but 1 second, we ask Kikasha on that. Shikr, mekcho mekach, umem karo memkar. If somebody is a shikr, so I'll say somebody's drunk, so what his transactions stand. Meaning he'll say, let's say I go ahead and I sell my house, and then afterwards I come back and I say, listen, you know, I need to avoid the sale, I was drunk. Right? So the buyer says, too bad. Right? Or the Beis Din says, too bad. Whatever you do when you're a shikr, it still stands. Umem karo memkar. So whatever you buy is a valid purchase. Whatever you sell is a valid sale. Avar avira shiyish ba misa. If you violated an avira, for which there is a death penalty, mamisin oso, we would execute the individual. Malchus, if he violated a penalty for which there is malchus lashes, malkin oso, then we would lash him, or not lash him, flog him. That's two words, flog him. Malkin oso, klalo shel davar, harihu kipikeach l'chol devarav. I'll say, what's the klal? The klal is that a shikr is considered to be like a person with full mental awareness, pikeach, meaning intelligent, with all matters. So we'll say, so therefore, the Gemara saying of Elazar ben Azariah, your argument is a little bit flawed, because we see, again, the shikr is responsible for everything. Therefore, Lamaisa, how could you exempt Klal Yisrael from collective responsibility from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Ella, shepata min ha-tfila. The only difference, I will say, with a shikr is that a shikr is exempt from tefillah. Well, as we've seen already before, it's more than just exempt. Only the halacha says, we don't want you to daven. Such a tefillah is a tefillah's to'eva. So the Gemara says, na yicholani liftar dekamar. Right? So the Gemara says, so what does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah mean when he says that I could exempt Klal Yisrael from the time that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Dekamar nami midin tefillah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah also meant regarding tefillah. That was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was saying, In the event that you think that we can be held accountable for not having requisite kavana when we daven, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, I could exempt Klal Yisrael from any liability for not davening with proper kavana, because the Navi himself calls us a shikr from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And just like a shikr doesn't daven because he can't muster up the requisite kavana, so to Klal Yisrael, since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, cannot muster up the requisite kavana, and therefore should not be held liable for davening without that kavana. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, lo shenu ela shlo higila shechruso shalot. So I'm saying, now the Gemara qualifies the previous rulings. When do we say that a drunk person is obligated for all of his actions, right? That his purchase is a purchase, his sale is a sale. If he violated an aver, he's chayiv. If he did not get lot drunk. So I'll say, however, avale gila shekruso shalot pater mikulam. But if he got lot drunk, then you are exempt from everything. Now, what does it mean to get Lot drunk? Shabbos said, we know, again, we know the Maisim Bereishis, where ultimately, again, Lot becomes so inebriated that he has relations. He commits two successive acts of incest on two consecutive nights. So the Gemara calls that Shechruso Shalot. So Shechruso Shalot means you're so drunk that you don't even have the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. So therefore, the Gemara thing over here is like this. If a person who is Lot drunk sells or buys an object, that transaction does not stand. A person who is Lot drunk commits an Aveira, for which there's either a death penalty or there's Malchus. In that case, he's not Chayiv. But less than Sheikh Russo Shalot, his transaction stand. The only Ptur he has is from Tefillah itself. Am Rabbi Chanina, Kolamafik Magin B'Shas Gaiva, Sogrin vechosmin tsaros ba'adam. So it's a very interesting statement. Rabbi Chanina says, now let's translate this phrase word by word. Kol means all. Hamafik magen. Look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Mafik magen. Hamavir tfilas magen avram she'eno omeres. So mafik, the Gemara understands, means now to pass on. Anyone who does not go ahead and engage in magen. Magen, Rashi says, is a reference to tfilah. Right, Magen Avram. So just like we say Magen Avram, the shield of Avram, so Tefillah is a Magen as well. So whoever goes ahead and passes on Tefillah, i.e. does not daven, B'shas Gaiva, at the time of his arrogance. Now what is that referring to? Rashi says, he doesn't mean arrogance over here, B'shas Shichrus, right, means when he's intoxicated. Anyone who does not daven at the time that he is intoxicated, Sogrin V'chosmin Tsaros Ba'adom, they close up and seal up any type of suffering he was supposed to have. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. So that they won't come to him. Rabbi said, in other words, what Gemara is saying over here, Rabbi Chanina is saying, is anyone who has enough restraint to refrain from davening at the time when he is drunk, so ultimately that counts as a benefit for him in Beis Din Shalmala. That any punishments he may have been deserving ultimately are not visited upon him. The Gemara is saying ultimately is, if a person is drunk but yet has enough of an awareness of himself that he realizes that the daven at this time would not be a kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but would be just the opposite. Interestingly enough, he gets points, right? He gets zechuyos for not davening. There you go. Shina Emar, because the Pasuk says, he quotes over the Pasuk in Eov, Gaiva. Gaiva, now you'll say Gaiva in this context doesn't mean arrogance. Gaiva means drunkenness. Gaiva afike neganim sogor chosem tsar. So here, because the Pasuk in Eov, so Gaiva, when a person is in a state of intoxication, afike maginim, right? If a person goes ahead and dispenses with tefillah, sogor chosem tsar. The tzoras that were supposed to be visited upon him will be sealed up and removed from him. My mashma dahai apik lishna da'avurehu. Hagna of the word apik means the lashon of passing on the chsev, because he quotes here another pasuk from Eov, achai bogdu, my brethren have rebelled against me, kimo nachal, like a river, like a stream, ka'afikim nachalim ya'aboru, just like streams passing by. Rabbi Yochanan says, kol she'eno mafik itmar. So interestingly enough, Rabbi Yochanan had a little bit of a different take on this. Now again, both agree that you're not, that it's a good thing not to daven when you're drunk, but they're phrasing the teachings in a little bit of a different way. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Kol she'eno mafik, look at Rashi, Kol she'eno mafik itmar, dahai mafik lishna digaluyehu. This lashon of mafik is a lashon of exposure or engagement. V'hachi ka'amar, Kol she'eno megalet tefila b'shas shichros, kolam she'eno mispalo. So from Yochanan's version, it's kol she'eno mafik, which means anyone who does not engage in tefillah. My mashah dahai mafik lishna digaluyehu. How do you know that mafik is a lashon of exposure, of engagement? Dechsev, because he quotes over here the pasuk from Tehillim. Vayero afike mayim. They were seen, right? He saw the streams of water. Vayugolu mostos tevel. And the foundations of the earth were exposed. So the Gemara says, michti, kray mashma bein lamar, ubein lamar. So we'll say, here's what's interesting is, the psukim work out both according to both opinions. And we'll say, at the end of the day, they both seem to be saying the same thing, which is what? That when you're drunk, it's actually an incredible, it's beneficial to the individual to know that I'm not in the right state to daven, and to actively pass on tefillah. So my benai, what's the practical difference between these two approaches? Ike benai, listen to this, the Rav Sheshes. The Rav Kamina is the case of Rav Sheshes. Why? What happened to Rav Sheshes? Rav Sheshes Masar Shinase Lishame. Rav Sheshes literally gave over his sleep to his attendant. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Masar Shinase Lishame. Amar Lo, he said to his attendant, Hanichani Lishan Ma'at. Let me sleep a little bit. Ukeshi Hagia Zmantila Hakitzeni. And when the time for davening comes, wake me up. Wake me up. Rabbi Chanina de Amar Avuri Boi, less late Rav Sheshes. So Rabbi said, the Gemara wants to suggest that the nafkamina is mar is leid Rav Sheshes or mar less leid Rav Sheshes. One opinion holds Rav Sheshes, and one rejects Rav Sheshes. How so? That is also what they're ultimately saying is one opinion felt that this process works, that even just to sleep a little bit, even if your sleep is going to be interrupted, that allows you to daven. And the other opinion felt no. The only time that you're fit to daven after being drunk is when you sleep it off in totality, which means what? When you get up on your own. But to be awakened by someone else, we cannot be sure that the effects of the drunkenness have totally dissipated, and therefore tefillah would still be inappropriate in that state. Amrav Chiya bar Ashi, Amrav, Kol she'in daitom yusheves alav al yispalo. So Rav Chiya bar Ashi say name of Rav, anyone whose mind is not settled, He shouldn't daven. You know, also the idea is that in order to daven, you have to have a clear mind. And if your mind is not clear, you shouldn't daven. Mishum shenemar batsar al yora, because the pasuk says batsar, when you are in a state of distress, al yora literally means you shouldn't paskin halacha. But the idea is it's the same concept. If you shouldn't go ahead and adjudicate halacha because you don't have clarity of mind, tefillah also requires clarity of mind. I've also Rashi points out over here that as much as the Gemara says Shinemar, which usually means that it's a pasuk, there is no pasuk. Rashi, if you look at Rashi, it's very interesting. He says, Batsar al Yoreh, Badakti Achar HaMikrozeh. I looked for this pasuk, Ve'eno Bechol HaKsuvim. And I can't find it anywhere. So he writes, Vishema b'sefer ben Siro, maybe it's in the book of Ben Sira. So also, in other words, what Rashi's saying over here is that maybe it was a rabbinic saying. But Rashi says, it's not a pasuk, because I did my computer search, right? I googled it, and mamish, it's nowhere to be found. So it must have been a rabbinic saying. Rabbi Chanina, listen to this. Rabbi Chanina b'yom ha-derasach lo matzli. Rabbi Chanina, on a day when he got angry, wouldn't daven. Wouldn't die. Can you imagine this? Because again, getting angry, he felt was such a disruption to his inner equilibrium that he wouldn't be able to daven with the right kind of gavana. He said, Amar batsar al yoreksiv, because the pasuk says, or the saying is, that when you are in distress, you shouldn't pass an halacha. Mar ukva v'yom adeshusa lahavi nafik labeidina. Similarly, Ramar ukva, in a yom of shusa, what does that mean? Look at Rashi, yom adeshusa, ruach deromis, a southern wind, minasheves babechazaka. So apparently the southern wind was a very strong, hot wind. So on a day when there is a southern, strong, hot wind, Mar Ukva wouldn't go to the basement to be a dayan. Why? Because I guess on that day, people would be in a lot of distress, and therefore, by definition, they wouldn't have a clear mind in order to be able to adjudicate the halacha. Amar, Nachan Bar Yitzchok, Hilchasa, the halacha is, Hilchasa, Baya Tzilusa, Kiyoma de Istana. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Yitzchok said, Hilchasa, Tapaskin halacha, you require a day, a clear day, like a day of the northern wind, Rashi says. You should really only pass an halacha on a beautiful, bright, sunny day with northern wind, because then everyone is settled. So Amr Abaye, so what's another couple of examples? Amr Abaye, I Amr Li Aim, if my mother would say to me, Kariv Kuscha, can you pass me the Kusach, Lo Tanoi, I wouldn't be able to learn. Rashi says, Kariv Kuscha, Afilu Tzivoy Avodakala. This is an example of a simple task. Haisa mevateles osi. But what Abaye was saying, apparently what I was saying was that, for me, the truth is, it was easy for me to have a lapse in concentration. And my lapse in concentration would ultimately affect my learning. So even like a simple instruction, like pass the kusach, Rashi says, lo tanoi, lo hayisi shorik kimoshe shanisi. Rashi's not saying that Abaye would stop learning. Abaye was just saying that, you know, an interruption, even a simple interruption, would really make me lose my concentration. Amar Rava, Rava said, Ikar tzasan kina, if I would be bitten by a louse, lo tanoi, I would not be able to learn in the same way. Both say these are all examples of great men who are telling us that in order to really learn, you really need to learn uninterrupted without any distraction. And just will say, we know this, that when you're distracted, even a what would appear to be a simple distraction, ultimately you're not concentrating as much, and that affects your learning, or that affects anything you're doing. So when I would get bitten by a louse, it's apparently a very little thing. It would disrupt my concentration. Mar Brei Dravina. This is a good Mother's Day Gemara. Mar Brei Dravina of the late Ime Zayin Mane Le Zayin Yome. So Mar Brei Dravina, his mother, made for him 7 sets of clothing for 7 days. Now, obviously, you have to understand something. In the times of the Gemara, to have different clothing for every day was not heard of. It was not heard of. People wouldn't wear. That's why they talk about delousing clothing. Right? Why do you have to delouse clothing? Because the Pasha says, you're wearing everything every single day. The Pasha says, it takes a toll on the clothing. So Mar Brei Dravina said that for my mother, my ability to concentrate on my Torah was so important that, unheard of, she made for me 7 sets of clothing so that every single day I should have a new pair of clothing for her so the lice would never bother me. Amar Rav Yehuda. I want to tell you, just the way we paskin. So what do you do with all these Gemaras? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that today, our Mishnah Berurah says this as well, our kavana is so compromised anyway that these additional things aren't really going to harm us all that much. So I was like, can you imagine if every day we got angry, we wouldn't die, right? Or every day, you know, somebody asks you, can you please pass the jelly, right? Can you please pass the kusach, whatever it is? Can you imagine? So obviously, again, the Gemara is referring over here to a higher standard. Says so the halacha recognizes that the fact kavana is a very difficult thing today. We all struggle with kavana. And the truth is, today, pretty much what we focus on is discharging our halachic obligation. If a person can muster up kavana, certainly that's beautiful, but the absence of kavana does not go ahead and exempt one from davening. That being said, of course, the laws about drunkenness still do apply. That one would not daven in a state of drunkenness, because that's not really just a din of kavana, that's a deal of appropriateness of coming before God in that particular state. So Amar Rav Yehuda, I'll say, these are all beautiful gemaras. Lo ivri laila, Ela Lishinsa. Night was created for sleep. Night was created for sleep. Now, Bosa, you ask, what is Rabbi Yehuda coming to tell us over here? This was an incredible yisur. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, make sure to get enough sleep. You know, Bosa, the Rambam in his Hilchos Deos brings down something amazing. He says that the day is comprised of 24 hours. 24 hours. You know how the Rambam says you should break up your day? You have 8 hours to learn, 8 hours to work, and 8 hours to sleep. 8 hours to sleep. So I'll say, it's amazing, first of all, who sleeps 8 hours? I'm saying, Rambam is like, in the Maimonidean model, it's interesting that the Rambam himself placed an emphasis on sleep. Because we know, if you don't get enough sleep, then by definition, it impacts your work, it impacts everything else. So Rav Yehuda says, just know, why did God could have made 24 hours of light. In there are parts of the world, like, God could have, why, and if you would have made 24 hours of light, you would have thought that maybe that means I'm supposed to be productive 24 hours a day. What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do? He makes the sun go down. He brings blackness, darkness into the world. He's telling us, go to sleep. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish. Lo ivri sira elo legirsa. So Rav Shimon Lakish says, yes, that's true. The nighttime was made for sleep. Listen to how beautiful this is. The moon was made for learning. I'll say, what does that mean? So beautiful. That although the night is dark, Kodesh Baruch Hu created a luminary. And that luminary is there because in case you want to learn at night, you should have a light source. Amri Le Rosh is just a beautiful, beautiful idea that the world was created for Torah. Amri Le Rabbi Zeira, Nechadedin Shmaisko. So they said to Rabbi Zeira, your teachings are very sharp. Amri Lehu, he said to them, Diyamamininu. Because again, because I learned these, and learned these particular ideas during the day. So he was saying that during the day my mind is sharper, and my mind is clearer, therefore the teachings that I have, therefore the learning that I did during that time is sharper as well. Amrale Barte to Rav Chista, Rav Chista. So the daughter of Rav Chista said to Rav Chista, Lo boy mar menam purta. Does the master not need to sleep a little bit? So this apparently people say Rav Chista didn't really sleep a lot during the night. So his daughter concerned him, said, you know, does the master not need to sleep a little bit? Listen to this answer, Rav Osai. Amrale Hashta, listen to this. Hashta asa yomi da'arichi uketini. The day will come, the very long day, the day that is long for certain things and short for other things is approaching. Veninam tuva, and we'll be able to sleep great amounts. So what Rav Chista was talking about was, of course, death. And he was saying, death will come for each of us, and ultimately there'll be plenty of time to sleep when we're dead. Da'arichi, but katini, but there'll be little time during death to accomplish anything else. So Rav Chisda essentially says that now I have time to accomplish, I'll sleep when that day comes. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Anan, Po'alei D'Yemama Anan. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, we are day laborers. We are day laborers, which in other words will say means that ultimately, our job is to toil and toil during the day. So the Gemara says, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, also listen to this, and this is such a lemaisa Gemara. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Yosef Upara. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov would often borrow and then repay. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Yosef Upara. We're going to see Rav Acha Bar Yaakov used to make up for himself that he's going to learn X amount each and every day. Literally, prakim. He was going to learn X number of chapters each and every day. What would happen? So what's it? Rav Acha Bar Yaakov had a day job. He worked. So every single day he took upon himself he was going to learn X amount. And what would happen? There were times, however, when his work schedule got a little bit out of hand. He had to work during the day, but what? He always made up for his learning at night. What Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is teaching us is something incredibly beautiful, which is that no matter what you do for a living, everybody has an obligation to learn. And not just learn, but everybody has an obligation to take something upon themselves. And if you can't fulfill your obligation by day, that's fine. You could borrow against that time, but you have to finish up at night. So even if a person, again, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is working during the day, he had a kviyas itim, I couldn't do it during the day, make it up at night. Amar Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, haba min ha'darech, somebody comes from a journey, from the road, ayispalo shlosha yamin. You shouldn't daven for 3 days after coming back from a journey. What's the logic? Look at Rashi. Ayispalo gimo yamin, she'in daito miyusheves alav, because your mind is not settled because of the exertion of the travels. So also remember, you have to understand something. Travel during times of the year is obviously very different than what we think about travel. I'm saying for us, even if you travel to the other ends of the world, how are you traveling? You're not going by boat and by donkey and by camel and by this. You're getting on an airplane, you're sitting there. You say, okay, I'm not saying it's not comfortable, it is draining. But the Gemara says, you know, you came back from a journey, the Gemara is saying, for 3 days, they assume the person was still not themselves. So if Rabbi Elazar says, when you come back from a journey, again, it's going in line with the previous motif, that you should only daven when you can muster up requisite kavana. So therefore, if you came back 3 days after your journey, you shouldn't daven. Shneimar ve'kavtein el hanar haba el achva v'nachna sham yomim shlosha v'avina v'am. Because also the pasuk, in he's quoting over here from Ezra. So Ezra says that I gathered the people to the river that comes to Ahava. We went ahead and we camped there for 3 days, and then I began to understand the nation. So Ezra seems to be saying that it's only after they camped for 3 days, at 3 days after the journey, that he was able to understand certain things in a deeper fashion. Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, ki asi ba'archa, when he would come back from a journey, lo matzli klasi yomi. He wouldn't daven for 3 days. Shmuel lo matzli beveisa de ispe shichra. Shmuel wouldn't daven in a home where there was beer. And I will say, why not? It's actually very interesting. So Rashi points out there, de ispe shichra, reach hashecha mishakarto. So apparently Shmuel had a very low tolerance. And what happened? He used to get drunk off the fumes. That's some beer. Right? So he wouldn't daven in a home where there were beer fumes. Rav Papa lo matzli bebeisa de isbe harnasa. Rav Papa wouldn't daven in a home where there was fish. Harnasa really is like fish hash. So they would take the fish innards, the kishkas, they would mix it with flour, and they would fry it up with oil. So it had a fish smell. So the point is, he wouldn't daven in a place where there was a strong fish smell. Amar b'chanina, we'll say both din in kavana. Amar b'chanina, kala mispata b'yeno, we'll say, listen to how beautiful this is. Whoever is easily appeased with wine. Now, what does that mean? This is amazing. Someone who is very easily calmed down with wine, and when he has wine, he's an affable, easygoing individual. So anyone, again, who is calmed down with wine and is in good spirits when he has wine, just know, Yesh bo midas kono. That person is quasi divine. Why? Shneemar vayarach Hashem esreach ani choach. The because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also easily appeased. Right? What happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu smells the karbanos, and what happens? Again, remember this is talking about by Noach. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu smells the karbanos, and what happens? He changes his mind, he pledges he's never going to go ahead and destroy man again. So the Gemara says that a person who's able to be put into a good mood by some wine, and who's appeasable, who's approachable, when he has that wine, yesh bo midas kono, is quasi divine. He goes on, whoever's mind is settled, whoever's mind is settled when he drinks wine, remember, wine could have two effects on a person. Wine could either soothe the individual and actually make them more clear-headed, or wine could go ahead and cause the person not to think clearly. So ever when he drinks wine, his mind is settled. Yesh bo das ayin zikinim. He has the wisdom of 70 elders. How do we get 70 elders? Yayin nitan bezayin osios. Rabosai, the gematria of yayin is 70. The sod nita ba'ayin osios. And ultimately, the gematria of sod, of secret, right, also the gematria is 70. Nichnas yayin yatsa sod. So it was an incredible idea that, again, you know, it's interesting. What the Gemara is saying was that we understand Nichnas Yayin as a soul, right? Wine comes in, the secrets come out. That we understand just intellectually. The Gemara is saying the two words themselves are linked. Both have a, which you don't see this very often, the Gemara dealing with gematrias, but both Yayin and Sod have the gematria of 70. Amar of Chanin, also another beautiful Gemara. Amar of Chanin, lo nivra Yayin, elen lenachim avelim. Wine was only created to give comfort to mourners, ulishalim schar l'rishoyim, and to give reward to the wicked. Rashi says, l'shalim bo schar l'rishoyim. So we'll say, okay, fine, l'shalim bo schar l'rishoyim, Rashi says, sheshosin usmechin umekablin olomim b'chayeyem. Because what happens, Rabbi, like even the wicked, right? Even the wicked do good things and therefore deserve certain types of reward. But the wicked get their reward in this world. How do the wicked get their reward? Through wine, because they drink wine, they feel good, they're happy, they're enjoying life, and therefore they get their schar in this world. Rabbi, like the other part is very interesting as well. Lenachim aveilim. The Gemara Maseches Mo'ed Khan discusses that it was the practice in the times of the Gemara that when aveilim would come back from the cemetery, they would give them what was called a kos shel tanchumin, a cup of consolation. It was a big cup of wine that was given to the Avelim. So the Gemara understands because the Kadosh Baruch Hu created wine for Avelim. Now what does that mean? The Kadosh Baruch Hu created this thing called wine that has an amazing ability. And what's that? It has the amazing, we're not talking about getting them drunk, it has the amazing ability to take the edge off certain circumstances. That sometimes a person goes ahead and drinks a glass of wine, and it just has the ability to soothe and to calm the individual. So the Gemara says that wine was only created to ultimately be menachim aval, to ultimately take the edge off life in certain circumstances, and also to give the rishon their schar in this world, as the pasuk says, "Shneamar tnu shechar laoved." Give the shechar. Right, give the little shechar is beer or an intoxicating beverage, lo oved, to the one who will be lost. So we'll say the oved is a reference to a rasha. Give the wine to the oved, because ultimately let him get his schar in this world, because in Olam Haba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him retribution for his actions. Amar Rav Chanan bar Papa, kol she'ein yayin nishbach besopeso kimayim, elo bechlal bracha. Any home where wine does not flow like water, that home is not a home where bracha is found. Shneemar ubarich eslach mecha ve'es meimecha. Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking about the blessing He will confer upon us. God will bless our bread and our water. Ma lechem shenikach bekesef meiser. Just like bread is something that can be bought with money of meiser sheni. Well, I will say, if you have meiser sheni produce, you don't want to take it up to Yerushalayim. So what do? You redeem it with money. You take that money to Yerushalayim and use that money to buy stuff. So you could buy bread with it. Af mayim shenikach bekesef meiser. So too, the mayim referred to in the pasuk is the type of mayim that can be bought with meiser sheni money. What kind of water can be bought with meiser sheni money? Umayim yihu yayim. They can't call it mayim. But yet, if it's yayim, then why does the pasuk call it mayim? To which the Gemara says, inishpach beteiso kamayim, kamayim ika bracha. If the wine flows in your house like water, then ultimately that is a sign that there will be bracha in your home. V'ilav lo, But if the wine does not flow freely in your home, then ultimately, again, that's not a sign of bracha. Also, what this also means is that when a person, if a person uses, first of all, good wine, so good wine, of course, is all what the person likes, but a person is not stingy with wine, when they go ahead and they make kiddush, they do kosher bracha, then ultimately, if a person allows the wine to flow freely in their home for mitzvah purposes, and also, again, for enjoyment purposes, then lemaisa, that's a siman bracha in the home. I say, you know why this is important? This is the source of the custom that many have, that's when making havdalah, right? We purposely overflow the cup. We purposely overflow the cup. So this is the concept of my cup runneth over. Right? This idea is that as we start the week, what we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, just see, my home is a home where wine flows freely. And dafka, for the purpose of a mitzvah, I don't skimp, I do not in any way hold back, I overflow the cup with wine, and therefore again that should be a simen that bracha should fill my home in the week to come. A very important minhag. Amar Biloy, b'shlosh advarim adam nikar. There are three ways, most like famous gemara, and here it is. B'shlosh advarim, supposedly you have to, it's a nebuch for the people who overslept today. Mamish a nebuch, because this gemara, we're not here. Right, because Nebuch, they're going to listen to this year later, and how much better it would have been to get this mamish in real time. Listen to this. B'shlosha devarim adam nikar. There are three ways in which a person's true quality, true testament, true identity of a person could be seen. Right? You already heard it's Erevin. Bekoso, ubekiso, ubekaso. There are three ways you see the true testament of an individual. Rashi says, Bekoso, in datom yushevas al beyeno. What does he become like when he drinks? What does he become like when he drinks? Right, Rabosai, when a person drinks, and this is not drunkenness, when a person drinks a little bit, so some of the barriers, some of the inhibitions come down. So remember, Rabosai, we all have two sides to us, right? We all have the internal person and the person we present on the outside. We all have certain things that we suppress and keep in. So the shail is, when a person drinks a little bit and those barriers come down, who is the person that is emerging? That's the real me. That's Koso. Kiso, Rashi says, Kishanose vinosin in bnei adam in be'emuno osa. Right, Rabosai, the true testament to a person also can be seen. How does a person conduct business? Right, it's easy to be pious with davening and with learning. When it comes to money, that's the real testament of a person's piety. And Picasso, Rashi says, she'ino kapten yose midai. Does a person get angry easily and often? Right, Rabosai, if a person has a bad temper, that is a major, major character. If you remember, again, we didn't have this. This was in our Amud Yomi days. But if you remember, it's actually a very strong Gemara. The Gemara says that a person who has a short fuse and constantly gets angry, the Gemara Maseches Ksuva springs down, you have to be choshesh for mamzerus. You have to be choshesh that a person is a mamzer. Now, what does that mean? It's pretty strong. Don't use that. Don't use that. Right? Also, what the Gemara is saying is that when a person gets angry often, it is such a profound character flaw that we have to ask about the person's genealogy. We have to ask about your lineage. It is so antithetical to what the Klal Yisrael stands for that if you have this inherent truth, if you're always getting angry, we have to ask, we have to do a little bit of bedikah, a little bit of an inspection about your yichus, because this is not the way children of Avraham Avinu behave. So the Gemara says, three indicators as to a person. Koso, what happens when he drinks, who's the real person who comes out. Kiso, it's easy to be pious in all areas of life. Are you pious with money also when you do business? And lastly, kaso, does a person anger easily and often? Because if that happens, we have to ask, is this person, is there some pigam in their lineage? Back to Erevin, okay? It was a nice little vacation. Now back to business. I'm sorry. I skipped. All right, take it easy on me. All right, I'm sorry. So I'm relay. Leave me alone. Right? So v'amrilay, others say, af b'sachako. Others say you could tell a lot about a person by how they laugh. This is also very interesting. Ratna Rashi doesn't comment on this. Af b'sachako means of osai. Then how does a person laugh? So apparently what the Gemara feels is that if a person has a very loud, boisterous laugh, that's indicative of also a certain lack of restraint, which by definition is also a lack of midos. If when a person laughs in a controlled fashion, but if a person is very loud and boisterous, that also says something negative about the individual. Okay, now back to Eruvin. Amarav Yehuda, Amarav. Yisrael v'nachri b'pnimis, v'yisrael b'chitzona. Also, we're going to come into this with the same excitement. Where are you going?
Coffee. Okay.
So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Nachri v'yisrael v'nachri b'pnimis, v'yisrael b'chitzona. Also, now, very interesting case. So now, what I have over here is, remember, we've had this situation before, where you have one chatzar in front of another chatzar. So if you want to see this, this is picture 231, if you have it over here. So just very simply, you have two chatzeros, one in back of the other. They're both like, remember, what we'll call the inner chatzer is the chatzer that has rites of passage through the outer chatzer, and that's how it gets to Rosh Sarabim. The inner chatzer itself has absolutely no way to access the Rosh Sarabim except to exit through the outer chatzer. So the case over here is, you have a Yisrael, a Jew and a non-Jew, living in the inner chatzer, right? Just one Jew, one non-Jew in the inner chatzer, and one Jew living in the outer chatzer. Okay. So now the Gemara says, okay, but my slifnei Rebbe. So this question, this episode, this infant came before Rebbe. Va'aser, and Rebbe said it's aser. Now, what does that mean? It's aser. That Rebbe said that the outer one, b'chitzona achiyaskir, that let's say we'll call it Reuven lives with the non-Jew in the inner chatzer. Remember, that inner chatzer is totally closed off. It has no access to Rosh Sarabim unless, of course, it passes through the outer chatzer. And Shimon lives by himself in the outer chatzer. Shimon's by himself. So therefore, they brought this case before Rebbe. And Rebbe says that in order for Shimon to be able to carry in his chatzer, he has to what? He has to rent out the rights from the guy, from the non-Jew in the inner chatzer. This is what the Gemara says. Similarly, it brought before Rabbi Chiya. This case came before Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya also said Aser until the guy in the outer chatzer rents out the usage rights, or rents out the space, the chatzer rights from the non-Jew in the inner chatzer. Yosef Rabba v'Rav Yosef v'Shili Pirkei d'Rav Sheshes. So Rabba and Rav Yosef sat after the shir was over from Rav Sheshes. The Yosef Rav Sheshes v'Ka'amar. And Rav Sheshes sat with him, and he said the following: Kiman Amra Rav Lishmaite. Who did Rav say his logic? So we'll say again. Remember one more time. Everybody clear on this case? You have two chatzeros. The inner chatzer, which is totally closed off except for one pathway into the outer chatzer. In the inner chatzer, living a Jew and a non-Jew. In the outer chatzer, just one Jew all by himself. Outer chatzer has rites of passage through the inner chatzer. Excuse me. Inner chatzer has rites of passage through the outer chatzer, but that's the only way it gets to Rosh Sarabim. So what did Rav Paskin? Rav Paskin that Lemaisa, in order for Yisrael in the outer chatzer, we called him Shimon, in order for Shimon to carry in his chatzer, Shimon has to rent out the rights of the non-Jew living in the inner chatzer. So comes on Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes said, whose opinion does this reflect? This reflects Rabbi Meir. This reflects the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So remember, what did Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir was in the Mishnah who said that what Rabbi said. Rabbi Meir said that even when one Jew lives with one non-Jew in a chatzer, the one Jew still has to go ahead and rent out the space from the non-Jew in order to go ahead and make the Eruv. So the Gemara says, Karkish Rabbi Reshe, Rabbi shook his head. Correct. Rav Yosef, Shrei Gavri Rav Ravi Kirabanon, Litu Bahai Nosa. So Rabbi Yosef said, could it be that two great Rabbanim, Rabba and Rava, would both make such a profound mistake? See, what does that mean? Ik Rabbi Meir, lama li Yisrael b'chitzona. Suppose I, if this price is affected the view of Rabbi Meir, then why do I have to complicate the case of having an outer chatzer with one Jew? I will say, what's the position of Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir holds that when one Jew lives with a non-Jew in a chatzer, this is going back 3 days ago, when one Jew lives with a non-Jew in a chatzer, then what? Rabbi Meir's position is that the Jew has to rent out the rights of the non-Jew in order to be able to carry in his chatzer. So therefore, why do I have to set this up as a case where there's an additional solitary Jew living in an outer chatzer? What does that matter? V'chitema ma'ise shahaya kachoya. Maybe you'll say because the Brice is not inventing a case, rather what? This is the way Lemaise actually unfolded. But they asked from Rav, Pnimi bimkomo mahu. They asked Rav, in this same case, what's the status of the inner chatzer? Now we'll say, who's living in the inner chatzer? The inner chatzer is the Jew and the non-Jew are living together. So they asked Rav, what's the status of the Jew in the inner chatzer? And he said to them, mutter. He said it's mutter, which also indicates that what? That when one Jew is living with one non-Jew in the chatzer, that's what? That the non-Jew does not, that the Jew does not have to rent out the rights of the non-Jew in the chatzer. Which then means what, Rabbi Osai? That's not the view of Rabbi Meir. The Elamai, rather, whose opinion must this reflect? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Masr Eliezer ben Yaakov, the Omar, Ha'omar, but Sir Rabbi Osai, but that can't be why. Ha'omar, Achiu, Shnei Yisraelim, Osrim, Zelza. But remember, what does Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov hold? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov holds that the only time that Jews have to rent out the rights of a non-Jew in a chatzer is when Rabbi Osai, is when you have at least two or more Jews living in the same chatzer with a non-Jew. And look at Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, you're right. Whose opinion is it? It's like Rabbi Akiva. What does Rabbi Akiva say? The Amar, Regel Hamutares Bimkoma, Oseres Shalom Bimkoma. Rabbi Osai, Rabbi Akiva, as we had this earlier, Rabbi Akiva paskins that rites of passage make you like a resident of the chatzer. So we'll say, in this case over here, remember, the two people in the inner chatzer, the Jew and the non-Jew in the inner chatzer, their only way to get out to Rosh Rabbim is for the outer chatzer. They have rites of passage. Rabbi Akiva holds that whenever you have rites of passage through a particular, rite of passage through a particular area, what does that make you? That makes you like a resident of that chatzer. Therefore, in this case over here, Rabbi Akiva says that Shimon, remember who's Shimon? Shimon is the lone Jew, the lone resident of that outer chatzer. Rabbi Akiva still paskins that in order for Shimon to be able to carry in his chatzer, what does he have to do? He has to go ahead and rent out. Now, remember, so now it all makes sense, because now in essence, what's happening here? Now in essence, both of the residents of the inner chatzer, the Jew and the non-Jew, are considered to be like what? Residents of the outer chatzer. Why? Why? Because they have right of passage through there. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, resident of outer chatzer, Shimon, if you want to carry in your chatzer, you need to be able to negotiate with both the residents of the inner chatzer. Again, with the Jew, you'll make an Eruv, but with the non-Jew, you're going to have to rent his rights in the chatzer. So the Gemara says, but 1 second, if that's the case, Lamali Nochri, you don't have to bring the non-Jew into this. If that's, Rabbi Osai, if the point of the Bereisa is to highlight the position of Rabbi Akiva, I could have made the point without the Nochri. All you need to make it is what? There's one Jew living in the inner chatzer. There's one Jew living in the outer chatzer. And what's the halacha? The halacha is that even though they're living in two separate chatzeros, the outer chatzer guy, if he wants to make an Eruv, he still has to include the inner chatzer guy. Why? Because the inner chatzer guy is rite of passage. And leave the non-Jew out of it. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yoshua, the Olam k'Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, u k'Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says, you're right. The Braisa is a hybrid. It's a hybrid of the Shitos of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says that what's Rabbi Osai? In order for a Gentile to be a problematic presence for Eruv purposes, there have to be what? At least two or more Jews there, plus the position of Rabbi Akiva, that rite of passage makes you like a member of the Chatzer. V'hachal ma'askinon, what's the case? Kigon she'irvu. The case over here is where the two Jews did make an Eruv. V'tayma di'ika nachri da'asir. The reason we have a problem over here is because there's the presence of the Gentile. Avaleka nochri lo asir. But again, lemaisa, if there was no nochri, then Rabbi Osai, as long as the two Jews entered into an Eruv with each other, that would be enough. But now that there's a non-Jew, the Eruv between the two Jews is not enough. What do you have to do? You now have to deal with the rights that the nochri has as well. Not just his rights in the inner chatzer, but more importantly for us, what? His rights in the outer chatzer, which are by virtue of the fact that he has rite of passage. Therefore, the Braisa says, so we'll say it's a hybrid Braisa. On one hand, again, the presence of the Nachri is only problematic because there are two or more Jews. There are two Jews in this case. But the rights of the Nachri are only problematic. But why there are two Jews? The Nachri is only living in the chatzer with one Jew. The answer to that is the position of Rabbi Akiva. Because what does Rabbi Akiva hold? Rabbi Akiva holds that rites of passage make you like the resident, and therefore what? And therefore the outer chatzer, therefore it's as if in the outer chatzer you have a Jew and a non-Jew have rite of passage, therefore it's like two Jews and one Nachri. The two Jews have to make an Eruv with each other, and they'll have to rent out the space of the Nachri. So the Gemara's... I'm sorry?
All things considered one
chatzer. In essence, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbanon disagree with this. Right? The Rabbanon hold that rite of passage does not make you like a member of the chatzer.
So it's only a one way. It's only a one way.
It's only one way. Correct. Correct.
The inner guy doesn't need to make the Eruv with the outer guy.
That is correct. That's everything is phrased over here, legabe, the outer chatzer. Because, remember, we'll say, the outer chatzer could totally disassociate from the inner chatzer. He doesn't need the inner chatzer at all. That's how we saw cases like this. But let's say if the inner chatzer totally closes itself off from the outer chatzer, then potentially they can make their own eruv. The only impact, it's only the impact on the outer chatzer, because the guys from the inner chatzer are going to be traveling through it.
If the outer chatzer also has a Gentile, one Jew, one Gentile, and the inner chatzer has one Jew,
it'll be the same thing. It's not going to make a difference.
I mean,
no, because once you have two Jews and a Gentile, you're good. Sounds like a joke, right? You're good to go. You got two Jews and a Gentile, Shalom Yisrael. No, meaning once you have that basic threshold, then you can add on as many people as you want. The halacha is going to be the same. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "Boy, mini Rabbi Eli, Ezem Meirav, Meirav, Yisrael v'Nachri dechitzona, Yisrael v'Penimis." Now, what if we reverse the case? What happens if you have the Jew and the Gentile on the outer chatzer and the solitary Jew in the inner chatzer? What's the halacha in that case? So the Gemara says, "Hasam taima mishum deshchiach deDayer deMirsas Nachri." So maybe I would say like this. Remember, I'll say this goes back to our earlier sugya, which is that remember it would be the logic of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that it doesn't apply that you don't have to worry about a non-Jew unless, of course, you have two or more Jews living in the chatzers, because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, thank you. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it wasn't shayach for one Jew to live with one non-Jew, because since there was really a concern of bloodshed, there was a concern that if the non-Jew doesn't like the Jew, he could kill him. A Jew would never put himself in that type of danger. So the Gemara says the following. So what happens if you reverse the case? So the Gemara says, "Hasam taima mishum deshchiach deDayer." So what is it in the previous case where the Jew and the non-Jew are living in the inner chatzer? That could be a shayach case. Why? Demir sas nachri, because the non-Jew would be fearful of harming the Jew. Why? The Gemara says, "The hashta asi Yisrael va'amar li Yisrael dahava gabach hecha." So remember, the inner chatzer is enclosed. There's only one way out, and that's through the chatzer of the Jew. So what could happen? The Jew living in the inner chatzer could go ahead and come into the inner. Excuse me, Jew living in the outer chatzer could come to the inner chatzer and say to the Gentile, "Where was the Jew who was living with you?" And if the non-Jew harmed the Jew who was living in the outer chatzer could find out about it, and therefore again he'd be more, because again he can't say, "Oh, he went through the chatzer," because if the Jew would have left the inner chatzer to go through the outer chatzer, then what? The Jew of the outer chatzer would have seen him. Therefore again, there's a mirsas. There's a fear the non-Jew is not going to harm the Jew. Aval hacha, but in this case over here, the reverse case, where remember, the Jew and the non-Jew are living in the outer chatzer, and the Jew, the solitary Jew, is living in the inner chatzer. Aval hacha, maybe in this case again, the non-Jew would not be fearful of harming the Jew. Why? Aminale, because if the Jew from the inner chatzer comes to the outer chatzer and says, "No, where's my Jewish friend?" What could he say? Nafik azile. Nafik azile. Nafik azile means what? He left. He left. He went out. I don't know. Leave me alone. He went out. And I will say, the reason he could say that is why? Because they're living in the outer chatzer, which has the opening to the Rosh Tzadayim. And therefore, again, what the Gemara is suggesting is that this second kind of case would never really occur, because a Jew would never put himself in that type of danger. Or the other possibility is, Hachanami Mirsas. Maybe the non-Jew would be scared even in that second case, and therefore, again, that means a Jew would live with him. Because since the resident of the outer, of the inner chatzer, the Jewish resident of the inner chatzer, could come at any moment into the outer chatzer, the non-Jew would be scared to act, because maybe the Jew will see me do something negative. Amar Lehi said to him, "Tein l'chacham, the yach came od. Give to the wise man, and he will become even wiser." In other words, they're both saying that the second case is the same thing as the first case, meaning at the end of the day, it makes no difference ultimately where the Jew and the non-Jew are positioned. L'maisa, the halacha is the same. So whether the Jew and the non-Jew are in the inner chatzer, and the solitary Jew in the outer chatzer, or the Jew and the non-Jew are in the outer chatzer, the solitary Jew in the inner chatzer, either way, the two Jews will have to make an eruv with each other, but they will have to contend with the rights that the Gentile has in the chatzer, and therefore they'll have to rent his rights. Reish Lakish v'talmidi Rabbi Chanina iklola upunduk. Reish Lakish and the talmid of Rabbi Chanina went to a particular inn. V'lo hava socher. The Hava Maskis. Rabbi say, interestingly enough, in this inn, so this is almost like a hotel case. So in this inn, what happened? Everybody had a room. Now there was a non-Jew who was also renting a room. Now Rabbi say, what do they want to do? They want to make an Erev. So what do they have to do when they make an Erev? So remember, what are they trying to do? There's a common chatzar also. So everybody's going to join together for an Erev, but there's a non-Jew, so what do they have to do with the non-Jew? They have to rent his rights. What's the problem? The non-Jew is not there. But guess who is there? The hotel owner. The hotel owner is there. Bava Maskir. Amru mahu lemegar mine. So the question now is, can we rent the rights of the Gentile? Of the Gentiles renting the room through who? Through the owner of the hotel. Because on the one hand, you could say, Kol hecha de lo matzi mesalik le loti by lecha de lo agira, agrina. So I'll say, if the landlord, if the owner, doesn't have the ability to evict anyone, then obviously, again, you can't rent the rights of the Gentile who's renting the room from the owner of the hotel, because the owner of the hotel hasn't really retained ownership. Kiti boy, hecha de matzi mesalik le. You know when the kasha comes up, Rabbosai? The kasha comes up, let's say the owner of the hotel has the right to evict anyone from his hotel at will. Then in essence, what? He is the owner of that domicile. So the Gemara says, Kevan Damatsi Nesalik, Agrina. So on one hand, we could say that since the owner of the hotel has the right to evict anyone whenever he wants, so therefore maybe I could rent the Gentile's rights from him. Because remember, the Gentile who's renting that particular room is not here right now. Oh, Dilma, Hashtamiya Loha Salke. On the other hand, we could say what? At the end of the day, as much as he has the rights to do so, right now what? Right now, he's not doing so. And therefore, in the absence of exercising that right, maybe the only person I could actually negotiate with is who? Is the actual non-Jew, the actual Akum, who's renting the room. Amar lahen Reish Lakish Niskar. Reish Lakish says, listen, here's what we're going to do. For this Shabbos, we're going to go with it. We're going to rent the rights of the Gentile through the owner of the hotel. And you know what? When we get back to the rabbis of the south, when we get back to the Beis Medrash, we'll ask the Shaila. Right now, we're going to go with the assumption that it works. We're going to act first and ask later. So we're going to assume right now that it's good, and then we'll just solidify that we're right later on. Asu Shaila, Rav Afas. So they came and they asked. Amar lahen yafa asisem. The Pesach Halacha that came back said, you did good, shesachartem. So the word came back that they were right in their calculation, and Lamaisa, as long as the owner has the ability to evict anyone at will, that shows that he has true ownership over all of the units, which means that when you want to rent out the Gentiles' rights, you have the ability to go through him. I would say, obviously, the Chatchila, if the non-Jew who was renting the room was there, you would go through him. You'd go through him. But in his absence, you could go through the owner of the hotel. So the Gemara goes by to one more story, both sides. Rabbi Chanina bar Yosef, Varachia bar Abu Rabasi, Eklal Ahu Pundak. They came to a particular inn. The Asa Nochri Mori de Pundak Bishapsun. So I will say, apparently, on Erev Shabbos, they made an Eruv. And what happened? The non-Jew who was the owner, who also lived there, was not present before Shabbos. I will say, we know that Lemaisa, if a non-Jew is not present at the beginning of Shabbos, you don't have to worry about him. Right? If he's not there, you don't have to worry about somehow renting out his rights. That's fine and dandy as long as what? As long as he doesn't come back. Now what happened? He came back on Shabbos. So now the Shaila is, what do we do? Amru mahu lemegar minei, right? Can we rent out his rights on Shabbos itself? I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says the asa nachrim b'Shabbos. Rashi says demeetmo shapir matzi la'aruvei diyurin diyisrael havubei mishum denachri lo asra alayhu hecha deleise. Because remember, also we've already established at the beginning of the parak that where the only time the non-Jew poses a problem is when he's present. But if he's not there, we don't have to worry. We make our own Erev between us, and it's fine. Therefore, v'lo Erev mum me'atmol, v'lo havi matzi matati mechatzer, ki asa nachri amri ma'u le'mega minei, v'hadr nevatal rishus le'gabe chad. So I'll say, okay, Rashi gives a little bit more of a convoluted case, which Tosas rejects. So we're just going to go with the Pashat Pshat. So the question now is, the Nachri shows up on Shabbos. Nachri shows up on Shabbos. Can we go ahead and negotiate with him to rent out his rishus on Shabbos or not? The Gemara says, socher kima'arev. So maybe we say on one hand that renting the non-Jew's rishos is like part of the mechanics of Eruv. Ma Eruv mi ba'od yom, af socher mi ba'od yom. Just like Eruv can only be made, right? You can only make an Eruv chatzeros with Jews before Shabbos, so too the renting out of the Gentiles' rishos can also only be done before Shabbos. O Dilma, socher kimevato rishos dami. Or maybe socher is like bitul rishus. You also remember what bitul rishus is? Bitul rishus is where all of the Jews in the chatzer cede and yield their right to one member of the chatzer. That effectively makes the chatzer like one person's domicile, and that allows for mobility in the chatzer. That can be done on Shabbos itself. Ma mevatal rishus va'afilu b'Shabbos. Just like you could do bittul rishus even on Shabbos, af socher va'afilu b'Shabbos. So you can rent out the rights of a non-Jew on Shabbos as well. So that's the shaila. We'll say, which one is it? Rabbi Chanina bar Yosef Amar Nisker. Rabbi Chanina bar Yosef said we should go ahead and rent out the non-Jews' rights on Shabbos. Rabbi Asi Amar lo Nisker. Rabbi Asi says no, we should not rent it out. Amar luhu Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Nismoch al divres zokein v'nisker also. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, let's rely on the words of the elder and let's rent out. Let's assume that we could do this on Shabbos and let's rent out the rights of the non-Jew on Shabbos. Also, obviously, no money is exchanging hands over here, but they're making an agreement with the non-Jew to rent out his rights. So I said, this is what they did. Asu shaylei Rabbi Yochanan. So afterwards, they can't. So they did first and they asked. They came and asked Rabbi Yochanan. Amar lahen, he said to them, top of Samech Vav, Yas yafe asisem shesachartem. You did good in that you rented it out on Shabbos. So I will say, apparently, it seems to be the Psak Halacha is that although you can't make an Erev on Shabbos itself, you do have the right to rent out the rights of a non-Jew on a Chatzer on Shabbos itself, and that would allow for mobility in the Erev. No exchange. It's just an agreement. It's an agreement that's made. Shake hands on it. However they make an agreement.
And the innkeeper say, and the innkeeper say, everybody, that